Luke 1, verses 57 through 80, these are God's words. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord, God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. People can be easily impressed and make great big deals out of small things. For instance, naming your son a name that doesn't come from your family. When Elizabeth, as you just heard, said his name is John, they were all surprised. They told her, as if she didn't know, "Well, I guess she's getting on in age, right? It was a miraculous birth because of how old she was." Maybe they thought, "Oh, poor Elizabeth, her memory is going. She thinks there's somebody in the family named John." So they tell her, "There's no one in your family named John." And they say, "We can't, it would be wrong to have him named John without Zacharias' permission. After all, he's the husband, he's the head. He has the last say in the naming of the children." For instance, you remember when Rachel was going to name her second child Ben-Oni, and her husband overruled her and named him Benjamin. So they asked Zacharias, and he doesn't overrule her. He gets the writing tablet just so he can be as plain as possible, and he says his name is John. And they all marveled. Now, there is something marvelous about John, but it's not his name. It's the role that he has. Because God has sent John as the prophet who goes before and says, prepare the way of the Lord, Jehovah, who is coming, as Isaiah prophesied. Once Zacharias writes out, his name is John, he finally gets to talk for the first time in months. And what's the first thing he does when he opens his mouth? What is the most important thing for you to do with your mouth? Now, one of the reasons why, when you're not doing it, you still take good care of your mouth and your words. First thing he does, most important thing you do with your mouth ever, is worship. That's why you're careful not to let blasphemy come out of your mouth. That's why you're careful never to use your mouth for filthy joking. That's why you're careful not to curse your brother or sister. To open your mouth always with love and with grace, with wisdom. Not with idle or wasted words, but words that honor God. And words that do good to others. Because very soon, if we are living well, and we're worshiping God as a family, as a household, a couple of times a day, and we're worshiping God in the public assembly, every Lord's Day, morning and evening, if we're living in a biblical manner, very soon we'll be using that mouth to praise God, to worship God, and we must not defile that mouth, make it unclean. Since we are about to use it for the worship of God. So his mouth is open, his tongue is loosed, he can finally speak again. And, of course, the Holy Spirit fills him, and he gives him a song of praise to God that he's singing over his 8-day-old son. And he blesses God in verses 68 through 75, and he praises God by a prophecy and blessing upon his son, specifically in verses 76 through 79. Now, he blesses God because God is about to destroy the work of the devil. The seed that was promised, that would cross the serpent's head, was about to come into the world. That is Jesus. In fact, he had been in his mother's womb about 6 months, Mary's womb, at this time. The seed that would crush the serpent's head is coming. The offspring of Abraham, the one in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, is coming. The son of David, the great king of promise, was about to come into the world, was already in the womb of his mother, Mary. And so Zacharias praises God for salvation that has been planned from before the beginning of the world and promised since the beginning of the world. Notice he says, verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. There's a good argument against millions of years. You can't add millions of years between the beginning of the cosmos and the beginning of prophesying if Luke 1, verse 70 says, at the beginning of the cosmos, they were prophesying salvation. That means not just creation takes place very quickly, but the fall comes upon the heels of creation very quickly, which of course did, because Adam and his wife did not have any children yet by the time of Paul. And so he said, God has been promising salvation since the world began. And he's been sending prophets to tell more and more about the Savior who had come. And now the Lord God is coming and he is visiting his people. Now, when God did a great work among his people or sent a great prophet among his people, that could rightly be described in Scripture as the Lord visiting his people. Even just as saving them, for instance, from Exodus or bringing them back from the exile. The Lord visiting his people. But here, it is the Lord himself who has become a man, who is in Mary's womb. And so that the Lord has visited and redeemed his people is all the more literal even in that way. Note that he uses the past tense. He has visited and redeemed his people. That is how sure the fulfillment of the word of the Lord is, and how sure Jesus' completion of his mission is. And so the Lord saves us from what? Our enemies and the hand of all who hate us, especially the great enemy, the devil. And what had the devil done? The devil had killed all humanity in Adam by causing us to spiritually die, so that we would not be righteous before God, but guilty, so that we would not live holy lives, but profane and wicked lives. But God comes by Christ not only that our sins would be forgiven, that we would have the remission of sins, verse 77, but that being forgiven through Jesus and being joined to Jesus, we would be able to, verse 74 and 75, serve him without fear. We worship him knowing that we are accepted because of Christ in holiness. We would be able to live lives by that faith by which it is possible to please God, growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, walking in good works that God has prepared for us and created us new in Christ Jesus that we might do. Serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So as we live, we want to live holy lives. We want to live righteous lives. Why? Because this is what God has sent Jesus for. Yes, so that we might have our sins forgiven, as verse 77 says, but also so that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Zacharias is rejoicing over his son, is prophesying over his son, but what he says over his son is really much more about Jesus, isn't it, than it is about John. John himself, later in life, would recognize this is how it should be for us when he says, I must decrease, but he must increase. And I think of you children, when you think of yourselves, you should think of how Christ is honored in your life, how the power of Christ is employed in your life, the good that Christ does through your life. When you come to think of your own children, you must think of Christ as primary and rejoice over the way your children relate to him, even as Zacharias, by the Holy Spirit, does with his son. We know God not only to be a powerful Savior by saving us from the devil and undoing both the guilt and the corruption into which the devil brought us. We know him not only to be powerful, but kind. Verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God. It is a great display of his love, particularly knowing that Christ would die for us sinners, and that God had given his son to do that in his love to us. So let's pray and ask the Lord that he would make us to praise him most of all for what he has done in Christ, and that he would form our lives around the display of the Lord Jesus and the work of the Lord Jesus, and that he would make us to know him as a kind, tender, loving God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word. Help us not to be so impressed with unusual oddities in everyday life, but to be impressed with you, to be impressed with your promises, to be impressed with your faithfulness to keep them, to be impressed with Christ and his salvation, to be impressed with your forgiveness, to be impressed by your power to make us live holy and righteous lives. for you. Make us to be impressed with you. Make our hearts to be full of praise to you. Make us to think of our lives in terms of how they honor you and glorify you, and our children and our future children's lives, about how you may be honored and glorified in them. Grant that we would know you and make you known as faithful and powerful and righteous and tender and kind and loving. We ask these things through Christ. Amen.